2-1-0.
Mira, y'all, this is Natasha with Norteño T10. Now on Latina Podcasters Network.
Good. Cool. So, my bad.
Go ahead. Hold on. All right. 2-1-0. Hey, guys. This is Natasha with Norteño T10 Podcast. Thank you to Vodpod Media for housing and producing and to Latina Podcast Network for having me on your network. Guys, if you are listening, go watch. And if you're watching, go listen. No matter what, go subscribe, go share, go like, go follow, all of that. And support me. Anyway, okay. So, today's guest is, introduce yourself.
How you doing, guys? Arturo Salas. I'm a voice actor, podcaster, musician, just like a creative type, all well-rounded creative type, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like to stay creative. I can't stand still for too long.
Oh, that's called ADD.
yes, but I make sure I put it to good use.
Got it.
You know, so that way,
yeah.
Because like I'm a strong believer in not wasting any time.
Yeah.
Time is a precious thing that we can't get back.
Absolutely.
So because of that, like, I try to utilize it as much as possible in my free time and also, like, you know, working, being productive.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah. I like that. Somebody told me at the beginning of the year, because they asked, oh, how you been? And I was like, oh, busy. And they're like, no, you're not busy. You're productive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, you know what? Facts. So now anytime someone's like, how are you? I try to like think and I'm like, I'm productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause it's true. Mm-hmm. Cause busy and productive are very different.
Right. Yeah. Busy is almost like you're limited to the time that you have.
Yeah.
Productive is like when you're utilizing the time that you do have. Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So,
for sure.
Okay. So I know you do a lot of things. So give people like a snippet of each of those categories.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like I've been in the music scene, for a while. I started taking music serious and playing shows, I think, back in 2014, 15.
Oh, wow.
I feel like time has gone by so fast, right?
Yeah.
Like so I played in a band called Marie Laveau. And when COVID hit, we slowed down a lot. And, like, we just, like, stopped playing shows. And I think when COVID hit, we started, like, thinking, well, life hit all of us, right? Like,
right.
At that point. So I think that music started to become less important.
Mm.
And
really,
in my opinion, yes. Like our guitarist, his name is Roy. He was kind of like the core of the band. Like he wrote a lot of the parts. You know what I mean? He had like all the ideas, and then he brought it to us. And I feel like somewhere along the way, he kind of like gave up and lost interest.
Hmm.
Because of that, it made me realize like, okay, well, not all of us want the same thing. And then when COVID happened, like life changed for a lot of us in the band. You know what I mean? So we stopped playing since then, but I kept up with it. I play guitar too, like acoustic, you know, I'll sing by myself. And, now I'm trying to do like more, I'm trying to lean more towards like a Post Malone, Party Next Door, Drake kind of vibe.
Okay.
So yeah. So like I'm waiting for it to drop, but like I'm doing it as slow as possible to make sure that it's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't want it to be mediocre. I don't want it to be half-assed. Can I cuss on here? I don't know.
Oh, please cuss on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be half-assed or anything, so I wanted it to sound perfect. So, yeah, that's me. I've been singing and playing since I was, like, 13.
Wow.
And it wasn't until, like, I was 23 when I really started to, like, take it serious and finally get the courage to sing in front of people because I was, like, the bedroom singer, you know? Like, or like singing in front of the mirror, like that's what started it for me, you know? But yeah, so like I'm still going with the music and, the voice acting, I feel like I started dabbling in it a little bit. I sent, a reel from the echoes throwing me off a reel from, like I did at, like for Cadillac. And I did a voiceover, like if it's a new Cadillac, like introducing the all new Cadillac CTS, you know what I mean? Like, and then I started doing other things too, so that way I could find jobs to be a voice actor. But it hasn't really been like a fruitful search, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a lot of work, I guess, out there for a lot of people to do voice acting, or I'm just not looking in the right places.
Why don't you do TikTok?
I do have a TikTok. I'm barely messing with it. I have a couple of videos of me singing, like doing covers, but I'm noticing now that it's reels that get people's attention, not long videos.
Yeah.
So I just started like doing like 15, 30 second like singing.
Yeah.
But that's all I have on there right now. And the voice, I do have a voice acting snippet that I did on there on TikTok.
Okay.
If you guys want to follow me, it's Arturo, number two R-O, like Arturo Turo.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm only asking because that reminded me. There's this one clip on TikTok that I see all the time, and it sees like, I guess they're like models, and they're overseas somewhere, and I don't know, let's say it's like a Mercedes, right? They'll like run their fingers on it, and they're like, Mercedes.
What is that called? It's like called ASMR.
No, right? Yes, but it's so weird the way that they do it, because they're like with cars and they'll like be along like the front.
And you hear the
yeah, they're like. And like so it. This guy does a parody, and he's in the military. So he does the same thing, but to like a Humvee, and he'll do like, he's like.
So he has long nails?
No, but he just he tries to do it, but like it's funny because I don't know. But it, you know, maybe like parodies of stuff.
I think so.
With your voice acting.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that. There was one TikTok where it's like, you know how you can do side by side, or you can do like a duet or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it had a script, and one of them was like, call now the next 30 minutes for, you know, like some shit like that. Like,
yeah.
So I'm kind of fucking around with that, because I definitely want, like, I want it to be like a profession.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess I would say I'm an amateur, because I don't have anything under my belt. I don't have a portfolio to show, just a couple videos that I did myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I joke with like my friends and stuff when they call me, I'm like, hello and welcome to Movie Phone. Or I'll like answer and say like some dumb stuff that I won't say on here. But yeah, so like, don't ever put me on speakerphone, by the way.
If you call me. Well, what are you going to say? Like, what, like,
I just say all sorts of things.
Okay. Knowing yourself. Give me something.
Man, I don't know.
¿Qué onda, puta?
Yeah. Or I'll be like, bitch, guess what just happened? And they're okay, like, hold on. I'm like, yeah, I'm like that.
Yeah, you know, gotta that's keep cool. It
dramatic. But that's okay, so if you want, like, lean back. Like, have a good time.
Okay, oh, you want me to relax? All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Relax.
I'm starting to feel at home now. I like
there
this.
There you go. You like it?
I like the
vibe. Setup. Yeah, the this
feel.
Is my house.
I love the feel.
It's like, I'm kidding. It's not. We're at, like, the best studio in San Antonio. Shameless plug.
Yes, yeah, it is. Great. I love it. It's great.
All right. So tell me more about yourself.
I feel like
what kind of genre do you sing?
Well, with the acoustic stuff, it's like, I guess I would call it like indie alternative. Okay. But like I said, I'm trying to move away from that, only because I want more of a bigger audience. I'm not afraid to make music for other people. Some people say make music for yourself. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, which I've done, but no one's gonna hear it.
Yeah.
But I would also like to make music for other people to enjoy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, that Post Malone Party Next Door vibe, I'm like super on it right now. And
I
like
love that's that. Yeah,
and like a lot of people will love that, you know? And that's what's like really driving me right now with that music. I've never been in the position to talk about myself. So like give me a little second to
you're good.
Because I'm always the guy that has the guest, and I'm the one that's like, okay, you talk, tell me everything.
Yeah, well, because you have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So say, I mean, you can ask me questions.
Yeah,
can
no,
you,
I think I will.
We'll just switch it up. You know what I mean? Like, there's no rhythm or rhyme to what I do.
Yeah.
So it's just chill and like whatever.
I guess because I'm used to doing this, I don't feel like the microphones are here. Like, I feel like we're just hanging out right now. We're just kicking it.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying?
I love it.
That's
it's great.
What I like. You can back it up too a little bit if you
Let
want.
Let me back it up this way.
No, back it up. Yeah. It's a really good mic. So.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, my bad. I hope I wasn't like.
You're good. You're good. Like,
Man, if I were to talk about myself, I would definitely say like I'm a people person, super outgoing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what helps me too with being on stage, being a musician,
for sure,
being a front man, definitely talking with people. Sorry about that.
There you go.
Talking with people, because for sure, like if you're a front man, or like if you're a musician or anything creative, like it's important to have that connectivity with people. Like, as awkward as it might be meeting strangers, you know what I mean? Like, I hold it in. I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, blah, blah. And there's been a couple times, too, where, like, people will say what's up to me. And I'm like, oh, I feel bad. I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, Arturo. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? How you been?
Yeah. Hey, how's your mom?
Yeah. They're like, dude, remember that one time? I was like, oh, dude, it was sick. And then I turn around. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. And but yeah, person for sure. And I never used to be like that. I used to be like real, like a shy kid, you know, like really low self-esteem. So it's crazy where I'm at now versus where I used to be. Like I'll never forget this. I remember my parents would like give me some change to go buy a soda and I'll be scared just to talk to people. It was nerve wracking, you know? And I feel like around the time that I reached like 17 or 18, when I started going to house parties, I would introduce myself to everyone. Hi, my name is Arturo, blah, blah. And then we just blossom from there.
Interesting. Yeah. I was going to ask where that switch happened. Like for me, like I've always talked, always. Like I used to get in trouble for talking. And so yeah, and like, I always tell people, like, it's funny, I used to get in trouble and now I get paid for it. And so it's the way that it switched up. So I've never had a problem talking to people. My problem is being in front of a lot of people. So
to this day?
Oh yeah. Yeah, like I black out. I'll do it and I'm like, yeah, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. And then I get up there and I'm like, oh, like my palms get sweaty and like my heart starts racing and I'm like, I'm going to vomit. And then I just black out. And then everyone's like, you did great. And I'm like, what did I say?
I don't remember. Because you blacked out. You don't know.
Yeah, I do not. I don't remember. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's a public speaking thing.
So with that being said, like, I know you said that you've done interviews even before the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Was it still nerve-wracking like that, or is it because it was like a one-on-one? Tell me about that too. Like, what do you mean when you said you did interviews?
Yeah, so I called street journalism because I didn't go to school for journalism. But when I linked up with La Prensa, Texas newspaper, they were like, okay, cool, you're a journalist. And I was like, but I'm not. So when I talked to like actual journalists, I'm like, look, like this is my title because they gave it to me, but I don't consider myself an actual journalist. And so I say street journalist. So what we wanted to do, my friend Roy, he started it on the South Side about 5 years ago. And so we were friends, and one day we were inebriated. I don't have a better word for that. And we were at a bar, Jokesters, and he was like, hey, like, I get hit up all the time to do all the shit on the North Side, but anything north of downtown is too far north for me, because he's South Sider for life. And I was like, okay, yes, I was like, but there's so many amazing people on the North Side, like including me, right? Business owner. And he was like, would you do it? Like, would you cover parts of town that I don't want to? And I was like, yeah, of course. And so he's like, cool. And so then the next day he called me and he's like, hey, like, were you legit about that? And I was like, yeah. He's like, cool. And so he's like, make your logo, start your Instagram, your Facebook, and we'll talk soon. And I was like, what just happened? So I want to say about, because that was 2019, very shortly after that, very short, I want to say within like 4 to 6 months, we ended up partnering with the newspaper.
Really?
And they were like, look, we see what y'all are doing. We love what y'all are doing. Nobody's doing this. It was almost like, I mean, it's street journalism. Like, we were telling the stories. I don't know if you've ever been on the news or if you're familiar with the way that it works, but they will go, they'll interview you, right? They take 5 seconds of what you said, and then the rest is voiceover, and then all right, next clip. So what we did was we provided a platform that gave people anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes, which isn't a lot.
Right.
But we would go into businesses and be like, this is where we are, this is the food that they make, this is, you know, the band, and this is what they sound like. And it was very personal,
right?
And it gave them our platform, which wasn't huge at the time. And I still tell people, I don't feel like my platform is huge, but the people that follow me and my network is huge because of all the work that I've done.
Right.
So, so yeah, so now I've done over 500 interviews at this point. Next month will be 4 years.
That's so awesome.
So thank you. And the only time that it's been nerve wracking is when it's like celebrities, and their people are like, you're good. And their people are like, you have 5 minutes. Let's go. Let's go. Like, you're next. And I'm like, fuck. Because then I feel like I have to,
right?
You know, and it's not so like chill.
Yeah. No, for sure. I kind of, sorry, I'm just going to put this on mute. I kind of felt like that before I got here. I was like, oh shit, she had Chingo Bling. I was like, all right, man. Now,
you're
now
right
I
after
got,
Chingo
yeah,
Bling.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck. but no, that's so awesome. I feel like going back to what I said about being a people person, like, really helps too with the podcast, because like, when I have people come in, like, I definitely want them to feel like at ease, you know, like at home. Because I feel like that's when people really talk about things that they might feel uncomfortable talking about in a regular conversation.
For sure.
Like, I want to bring everything out in a person. Like, I mean, if you want to bring out the bad, hey, that's great. It's a part of you, you know? But everyone has a story. You know Absolutely. What I mean? And I just love to hear it all, everything.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's important to me. You know what I mean?
And I say that all the time. Like, everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. And so, same, I'm interested in people and who they are and where they came from and what they do. And, you know, I've been able to forge so many relationships because of that. Because that's more important to me like, you know, somebody, and people call me stupid. I've literally been called stupid many times because I'm like, that's more important to me than like making money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also have my career, I have my businesses, and so I'm able to make money that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So money's not always at the forefront of my brain. So when I do these things or these interviews, and like, to me, it's about forging that relationship with this person and who they are, and like this business owner, and people react better to that because from there, like, once I started campaigning for Riverwalk Queen, they were like, hey, like, out of the woodwork, people were like, dude, you gave me a chance, like, you talked to me, you put me on, like, how that's do I cool. help you? And I was like, what? Like, that's not why I do things. But they're like, no, but we want to. So yeah, it's about those relationships.
No, definitely, for sure. And it's I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, because it's like, it's exciting just to work with people like that, like, to be just to have that chance, you know what I mean, for them to cross paths with you in your life.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And like, I don't care if people have no followers or a million. Like, who are you as a person?
Right.
Because you can have like, you could be like Kylie Jenner, but if you're if you're a piece of shit, like, I don't fuck with you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like that, who somebody is and their integrity and like their morals and values matters more to me.
No, definitely.
Why am I talking about me? All right, anyway.
No, hey, you said we're going to switch off.
Oh, that's like, true. That's true. We're switching off. Welcome to our podcast.
For sure. Yeah. When I bring you on, like, I definitely want to hear it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know, like, I'm the guest, but, like, I'm just so curious to hear it all now.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to wait. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wait a little bit.
I feel like the people that have the greatest stories are the elderly and children, because the way that they explain it is, like this huge imagination, right? And it's just so interesting to hear like what they have to say, you know. Like my son, he'll be like, daddy, remember when we went to the bunny store? And it's Specs. That's where I had to take him one time. So like, I was like, all right, Poppy, we're gonna go in and out. But he's like, the bunny store, you know. But then when the older crowd too, like my ex's grandfather, I could sit there and listen to him talk for hours. When you're that old, you have so many life experiences that we haven't lived through yet. So it's very interesting to me to hear it.
Yeah, you know? I always take into account people who have lived before me, or people who have lived different lives in general, right?
Right.
Because some people just like hard knock, you know? So I'm like, oh shit, yeah, like tell me about your life and tell me like what's going on. And
let me hear it all.
Yeah, my friend, she jokes with me all the time. She calls me a friend slut
because
she's like, she's like, not everybody's your friend, Natasha. Like, just because you meet somebody, because I'll like go to the bathroom and I have like a girl moment with like another girl. I'm like, oh my God, let me hear your makeup.
We're friends now.
Literally, I'm like, hey, I'm like, come to my table. And I'm like, look, this is my friend. And my friend's like, she's not your friend. And I'm like,
yes, she is. Tonight.
Yeah, she's like, you call everybody your friend. I'm like, all right. So I'm working on it. I'm trying to call people.
No, don't work on it. Keep being friends with strangers. It's cool. Like,
yeah, I'm like, hi, you want to be my friend?
No, it's great, though, to run into people like that and have that attitude and personality. I think it's admirable, for sure.
Yeah, but then you get hurt a lot, right? Or like I do, like, because I also, once I'm friends with somebody, truly friends with somebody, I give without expecting or like without wanting that in return. But also like I've come to realize a lot of people are takers, and it's not a give and take. It's like, oh, you're giving, I'm just going to take and take and take and take and take. Whether that be energy, time, actual, you know, monetary, you know, whatever it is. So I've had to learn to like see those like people like red flags and take it for what it is. Because I used to always like make excuses for people like, oh, well, you know, maybe they're not like that. And maybe, you know, maybe, or maybe they've been through some trauma, or maybe, you know, and like
trying like to give them the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah. Always giving people the benefit of the doubt, always trying to like fix people, and come to realize like, that's not my job.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? It's okay. No, 28. No. 27.
Yeah.
So the reason why I ask is because around what age or time in your life did you start to realize? Because at first we don't really know better until we go through something, right? Mm-hmm. So when did you start to realize that people will they'll take more than they give?
Yeah, the last few years.
How so? Tell me.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
All right. No, it's just trusting people and, again, giving people freely. Like, I'll give people, like, my kindness and my love and my respect. Because so I'm the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, like, people have to earn that with me. You have to earn my trust. You have to earn my loyalty. You have to earn my
Someone
my
said love. That to you before?
No, it's in general. Well, yes, but in general, like, that's just how a lot of people think. That's their mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm the opposite. Like, I'll give that to you
right.
until I feel like I shouldn't.
Okay.
So almost like those teachers uh-huh. that are like, you know what? I'm going to start everybody out with an A. Everybody has an A right now. Now you have to maintain that A, right?
Right, right, right.
And I feel like it is in relationships, you maintain that A, right? Or that trust, that loyalty, that respect by mm-hmm. just reciprocating. If I give you respect, respect me. If I show you love, show me love. It's not hard. It's human nature. We all want to be loved, right? We all want to be respected.
Damn, yeah.
So, but there's so many people that are jaded and guarded that they're unable to do that, to mm-hmm. reciprocate. Mm-hmm. And so they take and they take and they take and they take until that other person is just dwindled down mm-hmm. and tired. And I've been that dwindled down, tired person, and I just refuse to do it now.
When was like the turning point for you where you were just like tired of it? You're like, you know what? Like I'm too kind. Fuck this. Like
it happens all the time. Like it's like a daily, like one of my best friends, she's like fiery, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're too nice. Like as a person, you're too, and I've had several people tell me this, like you're too nice.
Do you think you are?
Like
you personally, like fuck what everyone says. Well, I'm sorry, not fuck what everyone says.
I get what you're saying.
But forget what everyone's saying for a second, and then you yourself, do you think you're too nice?
Sometimes. I just try to give everybody grace because there's been many times where I've seen it not happen and people deserve that grace, mm-hmm. or it's happened to me where people have just been rude to me for no reason or whatever, and I'm like, well, fuck, like, what did I do? and I still return hate with love.
Okay. I think that's the best way to handle it. I used to, when I was younger, I used to be like really like a bitter person.
Yeah.
Like I was an asshole. I was a piece of shit. I say that a lot too on my podcast. And the reason why I say it though is because the way that I am now, I feel like it's such a big change. You know what I mean? But I had to like go through life a little bit and experience this and experience that in order to be the person that I am today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some people that like, they'll bring out the worst in you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, I've been told too that sometimes I'm too nice. Even after everything that I've been through, I refuse to change my character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, how people remember you is to me it's important.
Yeah.
Lately, like, I'm not trying to sound morbid, but like lately I've been thinking about like if I'm put in the ground, you know what I mean? What's the last thing someone's gonna remember about me, and I want to make sure it's something good.
See, know? I think the same way.
Really?
Like, I got to a point. I want to say it was COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it. It was COVID. COVID was that pivotal, life changing moment or time in my life where I was like, "Who the fuck am I? And who do I want to be? What do I want to be known for?"
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're right. Like, if I die today, like, how are people gonna remember me? Are they going to be like, man, that shit was terrible. You know, or she had a bad attitude, or she was, you know, didn't do shit in life. Like, no, like that's not what it is at all. And I can lay my head down at night and go to sleep comfortably because I know that I've done the best that I can.
Right.
And or I'm trying at least, mm-hmm. you know,
and you know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And like, I feel like you got a pretty good head on your shoulders and good character. And it feels good. Right. Doesn't it? Like to know that you're trying your best to be there for other people and yourself and. you know?
Yeah. But I was just having this conversation with one of my friends the other day. It was like, cause she said that recently, or like the past couple of years, that she started kind of saying like, no, I don't want to go to that, or I'm not going to force myself.
Like, don't be afraid to say no. Right. Like,
right. And that's where I'm trying to like learn and do better, because I've always been a yes person. Like, oh, hey, I'll be there. Or like, yeah, I would love to be there. And not that I don't, but I've also forced myself to go to so many things.
Really?
When I'm, oh yeah, when I'm like, you know, I have like, you know, kids at home that are like, you know, where are you going? Or, you know, I'm tired, or I have 1,000 things to do and I'm stressed out, you know, arguing with, you know, whatever. And then I'm like, fine. And I'll go and show face. And then I'm, and the whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, I should be home. I should be doing this. I should be doing that.
It's because you don't want to disappoint somebody though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's big for me too.
I'm learning now to just communicate. And instead of saying, yes, I'll be there, I'll tell people like, I'll try my best. Cause I will try my best.
Right.
But it also allows that space for me to message them and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Yeah.
And I was so scared of that.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like, well, you know, I don't want people to think I'm never going to come to anything. Because I will if I can. And people know that if you follow me, like on social media, Riverwalk Queen underscore not 3210. if you follow me, like, you know, like I'm everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
So if I can be there, it will be there. Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks. That's the end of our episode. Thank you so much. No, I'm kidding. So tell me about your podcast. What made you want to start and what is it about?
If I can remember correctly, I think the idea, the seed was planted back in 2017 or 18. And the reason why I started looking into doing it was because of Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
Like, because I used to work from home.
Yeah.
So, like, because I was a collector, a debt collector, right? Like, I was the guy that called you if you're late on your Victoria's Secret payment or if you're late on, like, your JCPenney payment. Like, I was the guy, you know, that called you. So I did that from home, and sometimes when it was slow, like I would put on Joe Rogan and like I would watch his podcast because it helped the day go by faster.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, I totally want to do this. Like, it's great what he's doing. Not only that, but like I would also like to become as big as him or like with anything, with music, anything. Sure. I want to be like, I want to be top dog. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people want that, and that's great. I think it's a good goal for anyone to have. So I started watching him specifically because, like, I've seen some of his clips before, but I didn't really care for it too much until that point where I started watching a lot of episodes. I was like, I can fucking do this. I can totally do it. So then it started with, like, buying one microphone and then buying another. But then I was like, okay, now I need cameras. So slowly but surely, I bought my own gear. I bought, like, 4 microphones. I bought, like, 2 DSLRs. I bought a laptop. I started dabbling in video editing, audio editing. So like I did everything by myself for the first couple episodes. And I guess to answer your question, what made me get into it was just like, I just want to be like that guy, you know, like I want to be the guy to bring people in and connect with people and just shoot the shit and like, you know. And it's been great so far. Lately, I haven't been able to keep up with it as much as I want to because I work in the oil field. So now I have less time to like do those things, you know. But I try to utilize my time when I'm here to make it happen. So far, it's been like mostly musicians. But I also like to have like random conversations of different topics of discussion. You know what I mean? Like whatever's going on now or like OnlyFans or like. The music scene, I don't know, or like the food, like just whatever the fuck, you know.
It's like whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, are you trying to be like top dog in San Antonio, Texas, United States, the world?
No, everywhere.
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 Like other planets, like.
All I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let those aliens pick up my shit. You know, like, like who's this two row guy?
Yeah.
But no, like. I mean, starting off first would be in the city, right?
So best in the city. You gonna claim it?
I don't know.
I mean, I'll fight you for it.
But. I know. I don't know if I want to go against you. I'm scared.
We could do a male division and a female division. Yeah.
What about the best podcast division? Nah, I'm playing.
So fight you for that.
No, I wouldn't say like the best, but for sure, like, not saying that I'm thinking small, but like the city first, mm-hmm. then the state, mm-hmm. then like the country. I guess that's the way I see it, you know, mm-hmm. with getting followers. I'm even thinking about doing some episodes in Spanish or in Mexico, so that way like I can target a different audience other than like here in the States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a way different audience.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Cool.
You said you were a Riverwalk queen?
I am.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. That's so dope. Like tell me a little bit about that. I'm sorry. I'm like interviewing you. I know. I'm like super curious. Like,
we're both in our black uniform. So we're both doing the podcast.
Yes,
we're
of course.
Collaborating. So I was nominated by the prior queen.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know the process. So you apply. And then they review your application. And then from there, they say, hey, like, we liked your application. Would you like to campaign? I initially said if I got that email, I would say no. And then I got the email and said yes. And so then from June to February mm-hmm. was campaigning. They said campaign however you want. But you're going to raise – if you want to win, you have to raise as much money as you can and beat all the other women in your category.
So it's kind of like you have to put yourself out there. Like you have to like get events together, right? Is that what you did?
I did 17 events in 8 months with the help of my friend, Hey Sugar, events. Mm. I literally couldn't have done it without her. And then all of my friends who came and supported me and my little girl gang. And they helped me push it. They're all content creators, influencers, and they would, you know, post about it. They would push it. They would, you know, talk about it. They would make reels.
Like really support you.
Truly support me. Yeah, that's great. Which is huge and still will mean everything to me as long as I live. I was able to raise more money than all the other girls that I was running against. But all the money collectively goes to Alamo City College scholarships, specifically hospitality and culinary, to keep jobs on the Riverwalk. And so now my job is to really just represent and protect, promote, preserve the Riverwalk. The businesses on there, and so now we're in all the parades. So if you've seen any river parades in the past, what month is it? 7 months, and then moving forward, at least till Mardi Gras, I will be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
Pretty cool. I definitely ugly cried.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's like a great accomplishment, no? Like.
Yeah. Well, so my grandma actually was. royalty in like the 30s. Mm-hmm. So it had a much deeper meaning for me too.
Yeah.
So I was able to get it.
Damn.
Yeah.
What a great feeling that must have been. Like just to carry that legacy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. My son, he was like, Mommy, I was recording you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my hands are shaking. He's like, I was holding the phone. He's like, I was so nervous. And then they called my name and like everybody was like screaming. And I was like,
so dope.
I was like, oh my God. It's like delayed reaction. But I was like, holy shit, that's me. And so then I was like, yeah, crying.
But that's cool.
It was great. It was a great feeling.
I like that.
Yeah.
Damn. I'm still trying to get that. Well, I guess I had that moment like being on stage or whatever, but to feel like a deeper meaning, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm still waiting to feel that one day. And I'm sure I will if I just keep going on the path that I'm going on.
Yeah. You know? How many episodes have you done for your podcast? Like who have you met like in the community that?
Do you know Chunkle Academy? Yes. Joe? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've had him on. Who else I've had? I think I have 17 episodes. I have a high school buddy that's a realtor. I've had Chris the Barber. I've had, so not really Mac Damon, producer. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Mac Damon. I was going to say like big time names, not like huge names, but like a different variety of people for sure.
Okay.
Definitely. I like to, like I said earlier, like I like to hear all walks of life, different stories from everyone.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit myself to anything. Matter of fact, I was thinking about, what we were talking about before the cameras are rolling. So I have this idea, to go live and have people call in kind of like Howard Stern.
Okay.
Like, so Howard Stern is another guy that I watch a lot too. So it's Howard Stern and Joe Rogan. Like I really look up to those guys.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of like doing an episode. I was going to have a guest, but I think for this one, I'll just do it by myself and have people call in for the topic of discussion, which would be relationships and being a single parent and co-parenting.
Yeah,
I feel like everyone can relate to that. Like everyone's been there or everyone's like there now, you know? And so I figured out a way to like plug in the phone to the Rodecaster. And for some reason, the phone calls wouldn't work. But if you do Instagram calling, so I'll be like, hey, you know, call this Instagram page and then I'll put you on. So I think soon, like I will do that. Like I want to hear people's experiences, nice. Like with co-parenting, being a single parent. Like, because I've heard stories where, you know, the good stories where it's like, oh, yeah, me and their mom, we get along. Or, oh, no, his dad's a piece of shit and this and that. And it's crazy to hear that, you know, it's crazy to hear both sides where either the mother isn't doing very well or it's the father that isn't doing very well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm sure that there's some people out there that are really pieces of shit. But I also feel like maybe like they're trying their best, but no one's bothering to ask them mm-hmm. what's going on.
Yeah.
First of all, because like it's none of our business, right? But second of all, too, it's like I don't think anybody just really bothers to ask. I'm sure that there's like the genuine people out there that are trying, but on the outside, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. So that right? goes into like a mental health aspect, though, mm-hmm. because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So my first two episodes were being single in San Antonio. And so I had two girls the first time,
mm-hmm.
One LGBTQ, one not. Well, no, technically they both are. And then the other episode, my second episode, was two guys.
Mm-hmm.
So one LGBTQ, one not.
Okay.
Because I wanted different perspectives.
Right, right.
Of what it's like to I be like single.
Yeah, smart.
Mm-hmm. And then two are not parents, and then two were parents. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like you mentioned, like co-parenting is
right,
like
right.
is could be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you co-parent?
Me and my son's mom, we get along fine.
But did that take time or was it like immediate?
No, it was immediate. Yeah, she's great. Sometimes I feel like, damn, like I'm a fucking piece of shit. Only because like sometimes like I'll get short with her. But no, for the most part, like it's great. Like there's no trouble at all. Like, I still like watch my son at her house, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that started because I broke my ankle. So instead of her bringing my son to me, I would go to her house. I just felt like it was easier so that way I can move around on my crutches and stuff. And it hasn't changed since. Like, I still go and watch him at her house. So like we're cool, you know, like my son sees that we get along. It's never really anything ugly or fighting. Like I said, sometimes I'll get short with her, but it's over the phone. It's never like in person, like, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like I never wanted to be a single parent. I don't think anybody does, right? But life has different things in store for us. Sometimes it doesn't match with the person that you're with, unfortunately, you know?
So you feel like maybe you're compatible as friends or as co-parents, but not as like a couple?
I'm so glad you're asking me this because like I've been wanting to talk about this for like a while. Like now we're getting deep into
Let
like the
out.
Life of Arturo.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that we're friends. We're not friends. And a friend is somebody that like I'll hang out with, spend time with, or just like be there for. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I'll be there for her. Like anytime she needs anything, I don't give her any trouble. I'll just like I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're not friends. I think what it is that we're neutral. I was going to say we tolerate each other, but I wouldn't call it that because it's not like we're dealing with each other's shit. I think we're just like coexisting. Oh, that's a good one. We're coexisting. You know what I mean? Like we have to be in each other's lives. I think if we had a choice, I wouldn't want to, only because like I feel like the past should stay in the past. You know what I mean? She's a part of my life when we're together that it's just not there no more. If we break up, that's where you should stay in the past. But unfortunately, like I have to carry her with me for the rest of my life because of my son.
You know what unfortunately, I mean? Why?
If it didn't work out, like leave it, you know? Like that's why I say unfortunately.
Okay.
Like if something doesn't work, don't carry it with you.
No,
you
know? Absolutely. No, I agree. I am a complete proponent of like, you know, the past is the past.
Exactly.
Like keep it where it's at
mm-hmm.
and don't bring it up, don't talk about it, don't, you know, there's no need to rehash it.
Yeah.
If you know, deal with shit and you deal mm-hmm. with it in that moment or deal
right.
with it, you know, shortly after and then it's gone, then it's done.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I get that. But just because I'm curious.
No, go ahead. Yeah. By all means.
What, I guess, like, what was it that, like, brought y'all together? And then what was it that tore y'all apart?
If I could, like, give you one word, it would be music. I met her at a New Year's Eve party. And I was playing, like, I was the act for the night at a house party for New Year's Eve. And, like, the dude who hosted the party, he had another artist that was a little bit more known than me. So, like, everybody was back there listening to him play, right? And then when it was my turn, everybody fucking went inside. I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm still going to have a good time. I'm still going to play, whatever. Well, she walked out, and she was the only one out there, like, watching me play. And damn, now I'm thinking about it. And when I went inside, she was like, hey, you're pretty good out there, blah, blah. So that's what brought us together was music. What tore us apart, I think, was, like, if I could summarize it in one thing, I think it was our personality. Like, we try to make it work. I think we're just two totally different people, you know? And, like, believe me, we tried. Like, we tried to make it work. And I at the end of it, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
She wasn't happy because I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And you can't really force something to happen if it's not supposed to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What was that time frame, though?
So I met her in 2015, and then we split up 2019.
That's a long time to try to make something work.
4 years is a long time. That's a good chunk of your life.
When did you have, like, my son? How soon into the relationship did you have your son?
He was conceived 2 years after we got together, and then he was born, like, so 2015 we got together, and then he was born 2018.
Okay, so then other question, right?
Go ahead. We're going to get deep.
Yes, get deep. Okay, so in 2 years, neither of y'all kind of realized, like, you know what? Maybe this isn't working out.
We did.
Okay.
There's something I've been wondering myself, too, about people in relationships when they stay together. I think it's because they're afraid for something to end. I think we're all afraid for anything to end. Your favorite show is ending. Oh, no, why? Or, like, your favorite restaurant is gone.
Yeah.
But when it comes to another person's life that's involved in yours, I think that has a deeper meaning. And because of that, it's more of a reason to be afraid of it being gone because you're so used to having it for a long time. And so... I'm gonna choke up. And so I'm sorry, my bad.
No, it's okay. Just in that time frame before you had your son, those 2 years, like,
y'all, oh, you asked me, like, what, why do we keep, like, do we really? Yeah, no, we did, but I think that's right. I'm sorry, let me go back to that. I think what it was is just like being afraid to for it to end.
Yeah.
And then also, like, we still did love each other too. I know we did, you know.
So do you feel like there was just a love of, like, I respect you, I love you as a person, versus being in love with that person?
I think in the beginning it was in love. And maybe after about, like, 2 years, I think it was just like I love you, not I'm in love with you.
Yeah. That's a hard realization.
I mean, I see it now. Yeah. Then I didn't want to see it that way.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to make it work, and she was a good person, you know, like,
sure.
Probably, like, I was going to say the best I ever had, but, like, I haven't been with anyone since, but there's a reason for that, you know, because in my opinion, I think being, like, dating,
yeah,
it's meant for marriage. If you're not ready to get married, don't date.
Okay.
So that's one reason why I've been single since her, we broke up in 2019, what, 2023, right? So, like, 4 years. But yeah, in my opinion, like, if you're not ready to get married with somebody, then don't go dating. It's just, there's no point, you know, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I mean, like, dating, I think you should date. I don't think you should become, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, move in together and all that if you're not ready.
Okay.
Right? Because, like, dating, you're just, like, having fun. You're getting to know somebody who could potentially end up just being a really good friend of yours or nothing at all, a life lesson, right? I completely agree with you, though, that people are just scared to lose something.
Right.
I think it becomes a level of comfort.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes. I spent all this time and energy getting to know this person, you know, having feelings for this person. getting to know their family, their kids, or whatever, whatever the case is. And they get to a point where they just don't want to start over. And it's that, it's being afraid of starting over, being afraid mm-hmm. of being alone. And I don't think enough people have been alone to find who they really are. And I don't think if you know who you are, mm-hmm. you're gonna keep attracting the wrong people for
right.
you.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You're gonna keep tolerating shit that you shouldn't be tolerating.
Yeah.
Because definitely. You don't know who you are and mm-hmm. what you're willing to deal with versus not.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think enough people aren't open enough to say, like, hey, I don't like that shit. Like, don't do that or don't say that. Like, they're just like, oh, but you know, but they're cute or they're whatever or they're, but they're sweet like this. Like,
it's always a but, right? Oh, but this, but that.
There shouldn't
be a but. Dude, no buts, bro. Like,
there shouldn't be a but.
Right.
And so many people are just like, well, it's better than being alone. No, it's not.
Nah,
it's
bleh.
Not. Like, be alone.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with
something
being alone.
Wrong with
be,
yeah.
Nothing.
I'm so glad you said that because, like, now I'm learning to, well, I've kind of learned to enjoy my own company.
Yes.
You know, like, I know you say, like, go ahead and date. And I have. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have.
Sure.
But I feel like I need to have more to offer to be worthy of dating somebody.
Interesting.
Like, if I don't have too much to give, then what am I worth?
Why?
You know? I would just like the other person, my other partner to, like, have the best of me. You know what I mean? Like, I want to give the best version of me and offer as much as I can, because to me, it feels good to think about someone else other than myself.
Sure. But you know offer what, I mean? What? Like, are you talking about, like, oh, I have this great job and I make a lot of money? Like,
I guess so. That? Yeah.
Okay.
Finances. Yes. Personality. I think I'm up there. I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal or like.
No, do it.
Okay.
Humble bragging.
Like, I don't usually do that in front of people, but I feel like my personality is like fucking great.
Yeah.
It's badass.
Good.
I'm not perfect though. I mean, there's things about me that I don't like.
Yeah.
But as far as like the finances and stuff, that's what I would really love to give. Like, if I have plenty of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all fruitful. Then like at that point, I think I'll be like, okay, I'm ready to be with somebody now. Why? Because I have plenty to give. You know what I mean?
So like you want to give.
Support, I guess, or
you want
to
be able
care
to
of?
Provide support.
There you go,
so like
provide. There you go. Yes,
so I
yes.
think that's like a man thing.
I think
right?
so too.
Right, like innately, men want to protect and mm-hmm. and provide. Like mm-hmm. that's just what they do.
Yeah.
Where women want to
nurture.
Yes.
And love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So and oh, so we kind of brought it up with like Chingo Bling, right?
Because uh-huh.
he's like, you know, there's a lot of women out there that are like, oh, I'm super independent. They're like hyper independent, right? But. The way things are right now is sometimes women are able to support financially their men better. And that's okay because uh-huh. I'm very big on like, we can flip flop.
Mm-hmm.
We can both be successful or I can be successful. Then you can be successful and then you can get me.
Mm-hmm.
But because men are, and this is going to be like controversial, but
no, it's okay.
There's
say
a
it.
Lot of men, there's a lot of female friends that I have uh-huh. that are single.
What do they say?
They're like, men are bitches now.
Holla,
I don't agree with that. Just I do not agree. But they're like, men want to be fucking coddled and chased and like, babe, how come you didn't text me today? Like, they're doing that now. They're flipping. Here's my thing, right? Here's my thing on that. My take, whether it's controversial or not, we have not allowed men to be soft enough. And I hate that word soft because there's a negative connotation to it. We have not allowed men to be boys. Like, you know what I mean? Like loved and like you want to hug, you want to come cuddle, like, come on, come cuddle. Like, you know, I'll rub your head
uh-huh.
because like, that's like, let them be soft, like not forged to feel like I have to protect, I have to provide all the time. Yes, that's in your nature, right? That's innate. But I think that we should just let men be men mm-hmm. and like show your feelings, like, you know, say what the fuck you want to say.
Yeah.
If you want to cuddle and eat ice cream in bed, let's fucking do it. You want to, like, you know what, I've had a hard fucking day, I just want to cry about it and drink wine, let's fucking do it, you know. But also in that same token, like, let women be strong. Just because they're strong and they're assertive and they're, you know, chingonas and they're getting shit done, like, we want to be in our masculine energy, but we can be submissive and we can be that quiet, nurturing, loving if we're provided that safe space and it goes back and forth.
Right. So here's my opinion on that. I have a lot of opinions. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've been guilty of like getting emotional, I guess, especially like.
Are you a Cancer?
Gemini.
Oh, yeah.
That's everyone's reaction. I don't understand why. Duality, right?
Yeah.
But I'm guilty of that, of like getting emotional, especially like the drunk nights, right?
Yeah.
However, like I try not to be, and here's why. So I understand where you're coming from, where like let men be soft.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, like, someone needs to have the strength to carry two people. I don't think it's fair to let the other person do it. What, in my opinion, I think, I guess being a man, like, I don't want my partner to see me like fragile or broken, because on the days that she is, I need to be the one to have, to still have the strength or look the part, I guess, to be able to carry her when she's not feeling all right. And if I'm not feeling all right, then I'll suffer in silence. That's my opinion.
But why though? Like, I think it's a give and take. Like, if I have my hard days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have your hard days, I'll be there for you.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. Like, to an extent. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I guess like I'll try not to let it show too much.
But why?
I think it's a pride thing, maybe, you know, or my old school upbringing because of my dad.
Right. So yeah. That's what we're trying to get rid of. Is like, okay, me personally.
The machismo.
Right? Yes, that machismo. Like, yes, like, be a man, right? Like,
yeah.
I'll never be like, oh my God, you're crying. Like,
like, again?
Like, bro, here's a fucking tissue. Like, yeah, fucking, like, no. Uh-huh. Right? That sounds fucked up.
But no, it's okay.
But,
it's cool.
But so for me, like, for my boys, I'm raising them to be open and honest and communicate and have your feelings. If you want to scream, fucking scream. Don't scream at anybody. Grab a pillow, go to a shower, go outside, go in your car. Let that shit out, because you can't keep stuff bottled in. That's bad for you. It's literally bad for you. If you want to cry, cry. Like, it doesn't make you weak. To me, men that can cry and be open and vulnerable, that makes you stronger in my eyes. Because you're allowing me to see that side of you.
Okay, so then I will say this. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, good.
I will say this, and I guess I can speak for other people who feel the same way I do. I think it's the reason we are the way we are is because no one ever asked us, are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
Going into adulthood now, like, we're used to that already. Like,
yeah.
No one's going to ask you how the fuck you're doing. So just, like, hold it in, like, and just keep going, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so full circle, right? Mm-hmm. To like the beginning of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, do you think you're too nice? So, or too kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I treat my female friends and my male friends the same way. So I will ask, just like I'll ask my female friend, are you okay? Like, how are things?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for my male friends. It's the males that immediately are like, why are you being so nice? What are you doing? Like, what? Like, yeah, I'm good. Why?
What would you say the percentage is out of the males that you speak to?
Oh, God. That give me that response?
Yeah.
Like 90%.
No way.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. Does nobody ask if you're okay? Like, nobody asks. Like, because I think guys will maybe ask guys, but it's not really. They're like broing out. Like, you good, bro? Like, yeah, I'm good. Like, all right, cool. Like, let's have a shot. Let's have a beer.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we're women, like, because we are nurturing. I'm very nurturing. Like, that's just.
I was just gonna say that.
Like, I truly want to know. Like, are mm-hmm. you okay? Like, if you're not, like, you can talk to me. And then
yeah.
They're like, what the fuck? Or they're like, oh, like, what's up? No. Like, no. This is truly like I'm just being a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say, I think what it is, because like you said, women are nurturing and caring.
Yeah.
And men, like, we're supposed to like reproduce and like provide.
Yeah.
So whenever you talk to another bro, it's not the same when you talk to a woman. You know what I mean? Like, a woman will bring you soup in bed when you're sick. Like, your bro's not gonna do that. You know what I mean?
They should. Like, y'all should do that.
I think I'll tell him to bring me a beer. Ah.
Y'all should normalize making soup for your bros and taking them some. You know what I mean? Like, if they're sick.
Nah, I'm playing. Nah,
no, but, nah, I'm and that's the thing too, is, and it's very Latino, like, and it's, or like BIPOC, right? They're like, oh, that's, You know, that's like gay shit, and I hate that too. Because it's not. It's you being a friend. Because when you're, look, I've never, thankfully, I've never been like sick in bed and not had somebody check up on me my entire life. And I think because I'm a female, right? Guys, if y'all are sick, I'm assuming, right? Y'all are just like fucking miserable. And if your friend's like, you good, bro? You're not going to be like, actually, you know, some soup and some Vicks would be very nice. Like, where girls, I'd be like, yeah, like some soup and some Vicks would be nice. I've had my friends freaking like literally Amazon stuff to me. Like, or like, yeah, send me stuff or like make me a pot of soup and like leave it at my door and like, hey, love you. Like, hope you feel better. Like, guys should have that more.
Maybe.
Why are you like, why are you resilient to like being nurtured?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm not used to it. I mean, as a kid, you have your mother, right? Your mother takes care of you, nurtures you. Going into adolescence and adulthood, it's not the same. So I don't expect it from anyone. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why.
Well, and I don't think it should be an expectation, but it should be something that you like should be willing to
accept.
Accept, yeah. Like,
oh, don't get me wrong, I will, you know. But yeah. Like, but it's not something that I'm expecting or looking forward to, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we just need more guys who are able to be vulnerable with each other.
Like a guy be vulnerable with another bro? Or like
yes. Like, it is okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I've had the real talks.
Talks are talks though.
True.
It's action.
Yeah. But when I say real talk, like saying everything that's going on.
Sure.
But it's never going to be the same like when you talk to a woman, because I feel like it's going to be more nurturing, more like in my opinion, I feel like I'm heard more. You know what I mean? Does that make sense or no?
Oh, yeah. Well, because, yeah, same. When I talk to my guy friends, if they've reversed that question on me, like, oh, well, how are you? And I'm like, well, actually. And then I look at them and I'm like, do you really care? Like, do you really want to listen? Because I get it if you don't.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes I'll say stuff and it's like they check out. And I'm like, all right, well then.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but like, it's fucked up.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And but also, like, not everybody has that capacity. And that's something that I've learned to do, too. And me and my girlfriends are really good at that. Like, I'll say, look, I've been going through some shit. Like, can I tell you about it?
Yeah.
And my friends or I or whatever, vice versa, will say, you know, how deep is it? Because I don't know if I have the capacity for it right now.
I see.
And like, respect that. Like, right. You know what? You're right. Rather than, oh, well, you just didn't have time and I was going through this shit all alone. Like, it's all about communication.
I used to say things like that, but now I understand that everyone has their own shit to deal with, too. So don't be there expecting like a response right away. If you need 5 days to respond back to me, okay, fuck it, you need 5 days to respond back to me.
Yeah,
it's understandable at this point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And like, for me, like, because I mean, it's never been said to me, or not to my face anyway, but like, you'll see me busy on social media, right? I'm always posting. But those are like obligations. Those are things that like have to do. Shit, it's like, it's right. Work. It's work.
Right.
And so I'm like, I have to get this one thing done. It absolutely may have taken me all day to do that one 30-second video. So please go like it.
it comment, does take a while, like, guys, for sure. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I'm not laying in bed super sad, going through shit, arguing with somebody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have shit days too. But just because you see me on social media doesn't mean everything's fine. And I say that all the time. Like, social media is what people allow you to see. And it doesn't mean that it's fake, although a lot of it is fake. Like, don't ever compare yourself to somebody else's life, especially on social media. And I will share with, like, my friends on there, like, you know, hey, I've been going through some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's not to be like, oh, my God, are you okay? No, no, no. It's just to show, like, I'm going through shit. If you're going through shit, I'm here for you. I can only take on what I can take on, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, sometimes it might take 5 days. And I think people only see the absence. And so I posted something yesterday, like, check on your strong friends. Like, check on the people who you see are always happy. Like, look at like Robin Williams, look at like all these comedians, and I'm not, this is not like cry for help, I'm not saying this, but I'm saying like, but look at all these people who are like happy on the outside, who have, you know, unalive themselves.
I guess I don't expect it. Well, it's like you said, don't have expectations, right? But it's not something that I'm used to. And so I just come to accept, like, be the person there for everyone else. And
but then who's going to be there for you?
I don't know if that's, I guess I just don't think about it.
You got to think about it. Think about yourself.
I mean, but it's important to think about other people too, right?
Absolutely. I think about other people all the time, mm-hmm. all day, every day. But I also am learning to put myself first in certain situations or think mm-hmm. about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be here for you. I want to go to this thing. It's going to take every ounce of energy that I have left in my body. I'll be honest. Would you still like me to be there? And sometimes, like, especially my really good friends, like, yeah. you know what? No, dude, just chill. Like, yeah. rest.
For sure.
All right, cool. And they don't love me less. There's no love lost.
No, it makes sense what you're saying. But,
No, yeah, hit me with the butt.
But, no, I just, I don't know. I've come to realize that I feel more satisfied if I worry about others before myself. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to take care of myself, right? Like, I'm still going to think about myself. I have goals, ambition, things that I want to do in life. But for someone to be like, hey, how you doing? You okay? I'm not used to that.
Can you try it?
Yeah. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. If someone asks me, I'm not going to be like, I'm fine. Go away.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up about a lot of shit. But like for the time being, though, I'll just be the one to worry about somebody else. You know what I mean?
I get it. But it's also reciprocal. So I'm like, here's your homework. If you can try it uh-huh. and then let me know how it goes in the next, like, I don't know, the rest of the year, 3 months.
Try what, though? Try to let people ask if I'm okay?
But truly respond.
Oh, no, I will is what I'm saying. But it doesn't happen that often is what I'm saying. You know, like, but I mean, it's okay, though. It's fine.
Yes. But no. I say that shit all the time, though.
Yes, like, but no.
No. Like, I'm like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Because, uh-huh. like, shit just goes wrong. And it's like, you know, the dog, that meme.
On
like,
fire? This is fine.
Yeah.
Everything's on fire.
Everything's on fire. And I'm like, this is fine.
Like, does this usually get edited? Because I was going to grab another drink. But
I don't
edit
shit.
Does it get edited? Or like, is it going to stay recording if I walk up and grab?
It will. But we're at like an hour. So if you want, we can like wrap up. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we can wrap up. Oh, my goodness. Right? Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, you can drink off stage. Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Off camera.
Off camera. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no, we'll definitely wrap it up. Wow. Like, I didn't know how much time went by already.
Right?
But for sure, though, like, it's something that I'm not used to getting. And I'm not saying, oh, poor me, that doesn't happen, right? I'm just saying, like, okay, I don't expect it from anyone anymore. I want to be the guy to be there for everyone else.
Yeah.
At least right now. Don't get me wrong, though. Like you said, if someone asks how I'm doing, I'm going to respond. And I'll say everything that's going wrong with me.
Yeah.
But it's just not relevant right now.
So So we'll kind of finish on this. But, like, when I say, like, be selfish, uh-huh. it's not be like, oh, I don't care about you. No, care about people, mm-hmm. but also know where your capacity is. So if you're going through some shit, you can't be there for everybody else. I've done that my whole life. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting, and you're gonna drain your own personal battery.
Right.
And it's not because, oh, I'm not getting it back in return. Like, no. Mm-hmm. It's just, if you're here and you're giving like a jug of water, you're giving and you're pouring and you're pouring and you're pouring mm-hmm. and you're pouring, you're empty.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you a long time, because if you're not, or if people aren't offering, or if you're not willing to take in other people's, like, let me reciprocate that, you're going to be empty for a long time. And it's going to take you a long time to fill yourself back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be selfish in that aspect, not like selfish as a person.
Okay. I see.
Cool. Deal.
I'll try.
Do your homework. We got it. He's one of my patients now. Just kidding. All right. No, but okay. So how do people find you? What do they see your podcast or?
Before that, I just want to say thank you for bringing me on. I really do appreciate it. I'm really excited to get you on because I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all thinking in my head right now. Like, what I'm going to ask you. But no, you guys can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Arturo Turo. And that's Arturo, A-R-T-U-R-O, number 2-R-O. I have some new music I'm going to be dropping soon. And yeah, so check it out.
Are you on YouTube or anything?
Yeah, YouTube. Oh, and then Talking with Turo. That's my podcast name. So you guys can look that up on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Talking with Turo.
Cool. All right. So follow me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I think that's all. I have Twitter, I think, or X.
X.
I have Threads. Anyway, Riverwalk, Queen, _ Nathaniel210, NORTENO210, or just Natasha Gonzalez, whatever. Yeah. Thank you again to, I'm trying to think of any other shameless plugs. All right. Thank you to Wildpod Media again for housing and producing, and to Latino Podcast Network. It is the only podcast network, yes, for male and female podcasters. So check out the app. Go follow, go share, go like, go do all of that for me and Arturo. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Appreciate it. I will see you guys next time. Bye.
Laters.